All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read our text, the first six verses. Paul writes in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." He's saying Christ is effectual to someone. He's effectual to his people, but he's of no effect to you. "He's become of no effect to you, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So the scriptures here, brethren, tell us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. To stand fast means that you are to stay right there. Don't be moved from the simplicity which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything you need. You stand right there. You stay right there in him. He's provided everything that you need to stand faultless before the throne of God. He's paid the debt. Your sins are put away. Everything necessary for the believer has been accomplished and done in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Paul speaks of liberty. Liberty which is accomplished for the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who makes us free. Now, someone might ask, free from what? That's a good question. What are we free from? Well, we're free from the bondage of death. We're free from our sin. We are free from laboring, trying to work to remove the stain of sin, free from those works that cannot save, that fear, that doubt, that worry that I've not done enough, because we haven't. You haven't done enough. None of us has done enough to be free of all doubt. But that's why Christ came. That's why the Father sent Christ, to remove that burden, that bondage, that fear, doubts and worries, and to declare to his child, "I've done it all. I've done it all. Everything necessary I've provided for you freely. Not because you've earned it, not because you deserve it. I've done it freely in grace because I love you. Because I love you. You're my child, and I've done it freely in grace." And we've been made free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. And I've titled this message, "Stand Fast in Christ's Liberty." Now, the majority of this message is going to be on verse 1. Let's read it again. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." These Galatian believers whom Paul was writing to, they had been delivered from spiritual bondage. The Lord delivered him, as he delivers all his people, through the preaching of the gospel. That's how he delivers his people. He delivers them through the preaching of Christ crucified. The declaration of what God has done for you, for his child. We're not up here telling you what you need to do for God. We're declaring the good news of what God has done for the sinner, his child, that one who has no righteousness, no hope in themselves, nothing to come before God and boast of anything they've done. God has done it all for the sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freely. Freely. Freely in grace. But now these brethren were being lured back into spiritual bondage, back to the law, looking for a righteousness, looking to develop and mature themselves, looking to do something to add to the work that Christ had done. Somehow they got it in their minds that Christ was insufficient, not providing everything. There was something they needed to do, and that's bondage. We're always going to come up short because we are sons and daughters of Adam by nature. In this flesh, we are always going to come up short. In Adam, when he sinned, we sinned. And just as the Lord told him, he died spiritually. When he took of that fruit, he died spiritually. Death had come in, corruption, ruin, defilement. And that's why we're all corrupt, ruined, and defiled, because we come forth being born of Adam's seed. That corrupt seed, that's what we're made of. That's what we're born of. That's why we're sinners, spiritually dead, unable to save ourselves or work a righteousness for ourselves. And so these Galatians had been delivered from the vain things of man. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, he said it this way, philosophy. They were delivered from philosophy, from vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the elements of the world, and not after Christ. They were trusting in things that cannot save, works, will worship, what they do or don't do. That's what they were trusting in, and the Lord delivers his people from that, because that's where we all were. We were seeking a false god, an idol god, but our Lord saved us through the preaching of the gospel, declaring what he has done for sinners. And that simple preaching, that message, which seems like such folly to man, through that very simple message, declaring what he's done, is what the Lord uses and comes to his child, giving them life through that simple message. Taking of the things of Christ, making us alive again by the seed of Christ. And so we're turned away from those things to the living God, but these now were being turned from Christ. Paul asked them in 4:15, in Galatians 4:15, he said, where then is the blessedness which he spake of? You heard, you were rejoicing, you were declaring how that the Lord had set you free and delivered you from all those vain, foolish things. Where's that blessedness that you spake of? You've become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Who hath bewitched you? So that now you're not believing, that now you're not obeying the truth, which is faith, believing that gospel word in Christ. After the Lord saves his people, we are made free to stand in him who's all our salvation. But there are some, there are these brethren, and there are some today. There are men today who think that, well, surely there's something more than this simplicity in Christ. Surely there's something more that we've got to do. And so they begin to look to the law, thinking that it's maturity now and growing in maturity and in understanding. And Paul says the scriptures teach not at all. That's actually going backwards. That's going away from Christ, because now you're turning to the flesh. That's not salvation. That's not maturity. That's not growth. That's going backwards. That's going back into bondage and the things of death. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And just stay there for a moment. 2 Corinthians 3. I want to look at verse 3 and 4 with you. 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. He's saying there, you're not the disciples of Moses. You're not the epistle written by Moses and the law of Moses with the law. You're the epistle of Christ. You've been written with the blood of Christ. You're Christ's epistle. And he says, verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. What he's saying there is we're so confident that Christ is all the sinner needs to stand before holy God, accepted of him. We're so confident that we preach Christ crucified, because that's what the Lord uses to save his people. Christ died. It's Christ who put away your sin. It's Christ who obtained your salvation. Therefore, we preach Christ. And God is pleased by his Spirit to come into the hearts of his people and to deliver them from death and to deliver them into the kingdom of Christ, where they live and have fellowship with holy God and are at peace with him, being delivered from bondage and dead works. He's the full provision. Now, the liberty spoken of here regards our sin. And I want to talk about this now, this regarding our sin. We know in our flesh that sin yet dwells in this flesh. If we're being honest, we confess that sin is yet present in my flesh. Paul said it this way in Romans 7:20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin yet dwells in this flesh. And we're still tempted by sin. We feel its temptation. We feel that attraction of fleshly things, of momentary pleasures. We feel it. We feel it. The Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that ye abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So we still feel that attraction of sin. We still feel its temptation. And we don't want to do it. We that walk in Christ, we don't want to do it, because then our thoughts and minds are put on what we've just done. And we're wrapped up in that bondage of fear and doubt and guilt, and we're just focused on that rather than loving our brethren and serving them and being joyful and thankful in the Lord. The Lord turns us again, but that's why Peter says, it's not that it destroys you, it's that Peter says it's making war against your soul. It's making war. And so sin is yet present and we feel its temptation. So what liberty does Christ give us from sin? What is the liberty that he's talking about? Well, there's three ways in which I want to explain this to you this morning. Real quick, let me just say them. It's the guilt of sin. We are delivered from the dominion of sin. And we are delivered from the condemnation of sin, meaning that it no longer dictates my inheritance. It's not determining whether I live with my God for all eternity or not. I've been delivered from that condemnation. So let's look at these three. First, we are freed from the guilt of sin. Turn over now to Romans 6. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 6 and 7. Romans 6, 6 and 7. Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When Christ was crucified, when he went to that cross for his people, he went as the sin atoning sacrifice, as the sin bearer. He came to put away the sin of his people. And we're told in the scripture that he was made a propitiation for sin. The Apostle John saying it this way, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And what that means is, in Adam, in myself, in my sin, in my works, the wrath of God was abiding on me. God was angry, justly angry with me because my works are wicked. My works are filthy. My works are polluted and full of sin. And so I was under the wrath and anger of God. But when Christ came, the Lamb of God, the sin-atoning sacrifice, the anger and wrath of God was taken from me and put upon Christ. It was turned from me to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ came to put away my sin. Every child of God, everyone put in Christ, their sin was laid upon Christ, so that the wrath and anger of God, which justly was against me, was now turned and put on him. So he turned that wrath from his child to himself. And therefore, we're free of the guilt of sin. I bear it no longer. He bore it in my place. He put it away. He carried that sin away so that it is removed from the child of God. And God no longer sees you in the stain of sin. You're covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're free from all those dead works. We're free from that guilt and laboring in dead things that cannot save us. We're set at liberty. If you were standing in the courthouse, as with God as the judge, he would tell you, there's no sin. It's been put away. You're free to go. You're free. Christ has set you free. He's put away that debt that you owed. Top lady, that hymn writer said it this way: if Christ my discharge has procured, and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine, God will not payment twice demand, first at my dying Savior's hand, and then again at mine. Turn then my soul to joy and rest. The merits of my great high priest have bought my liberty. Trust in his all-sufficient blood, ending my banishment from God, for Jesus died for me. He's put it away. Amen. Second, we understand our liberty from sin is with regards to the dominion of sin. Let's look once more at verse 6, Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The body of sin is the enmity that is in us by nature, that enmity against the true and living God, that enmity which despises the salvation of God and does things its own way and worships idols and false gods and does it its own filthy works. That's enmity in us. That's the rebellion that's in us by nature in Adam. So let's illustrate this looking at Adam and Eve. If you'd like to follow along, go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, we're just going to look at two verses there, 7 and 8, to illustrate this point so that you can see what enmity against the true and living God looks like. All right, Genesis 3, 7. So we're told that Adam ate that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says the eyes of them both, when Adam took that bite, when he bit it, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So now they could see. They knew good and evil, and they judged themselves to be naked. What did they do? They tried to cover their own nakedness. It says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They made a covering. We see there self-righteousness. That enmity was already there. Just like God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. They died spiritually immediately. So that the first thing they thought to do was self-righteousness. We need to provide a covering for our shame. For our shame. And everyone who turns to their own works to provide a covering for their sin is going to stand before holy God in that day and be ashamed because what we do in this flesh is no covering. We can provide no covering to cover our shame, our nakedness before God. Then we see how that they sought a refuge from God. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They didn't run to God when they heard him crying and weeping and confessing, "Lord, we've messed up. We've sinned. We did exactly what you told us not to do. We did it, and now we're naked. Now we've ruined everything, Lord. Have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Have mercy." No, they sought a refuge from the Lord. They tried to hide from him. That's the enmity. We're seeking a refuge from God. And when men go to the law for righteousness, they're saying to God, "Stay back. I got this. I messed up. I'll fix it. I got it. Don't judge me, Lord. Don't judge me. Don't come. Stay back. I'll take care of it. I got the law. I'll fix it. Just keep yourself at bay. Don't come near me, Lord. I got this." And that's what we do. That's the enmity in man that seeks his own covering, his own righteousness, and seeks a refuge from God. And that's what Christ restored for his people. That's what he did. He delivered us from death and doing dead works and doing those things that cannot save. And he delivered us into his kingdom, in his love, in his life, in his light. So that now we have fellowship with God. Now we have peace with holy God. He's established that peace so that now that enmity is put away. We're not seeking to run from God. Now we come wanting to hear the Lord. Now we want to have fellowship with the true and living God. We want to know him. We want to hear his words. We love him because the enmity has been put away. The dominion of sin that kept us laboring in that bondage has been put away by Christ in the new birth. Turn over to Colossians 2, verse 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. So it says there, "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands." Right? We can't circumcise this wicked heart with the works of our hands in this flesh, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. That's what it is, the body of sins, right? We've been delivered from that dominion by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation, the work of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Brethren, that's the new birth that we now rejoice in because we are made alive, new creatures in Christ. This is what our Lord was saying when he said, "Nicodemus, you religious person, you self-righteous, God-hating man, ye must be born again." That's the new birth. That's circumcision, which only Christ can work in the heart of his child. And by grace, he does it. He does. This is what Paul was speaking of, this power, when he said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." That same power which raised Christ from the dead is the power and grace that raises us from that spiritual death and gives us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's what we want to know. "Lord, I don't want to be found standing in my own righteousness with my own little fig leaf apron that I've made. Lord, take all that off the table. I don't want any of it. I want to be found in that righteousness of Christ. Let me be seen in his righteousness. I just want his robe. I don't want no trinkets, nothing of mine. Let me be found in him." And so now, brethren, we that have been raised from death and dead works and been given life in Christ, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's not our confidence anymore. We don't want any part of it. just like Paul. We don't want nothing to do with it. So Christ delivers us from that enmity which had dominion over us, and he's given us life in himself, liberty in himself. And finally, the liberty that we have in Christ is we are delivered from the condemnation, that damning power of sin. My inheritance, and you that hope in Christ, our inheritance is in Christ. We don't stand in the inheritance of Adam and his seed anymore. We've been born again of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my inheritance. That's the inheritance of those who are born of Adam's seed and have not been born again, who haven't been given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been raised again, made new by the Lord Jesus Christ, born of his incorruptible seed. And therefore, that wrath of God, which yet abides upon the sons and daughters of Adam, standing in that inheritance, that wrath is not ours. That's not our inheritance. That's not what's waiting for us. We have a good hope, a sure hope, founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness and what he has done for his people. And it pleases God to make this known to you, his child, to comfort your hearts, to bless your hearts this day, to know that I stand in Christ. He's all my hope. How do I know I stand in Christ? He's all your hope. You have no hope in your own works, in your own righteousness. Your hope is in Christ. That's not of the flesh. That's of the Spirit of God. He gives that to his child whom he loves. It says in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, that everything which was contrary to us, Christ took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That means everything that stood opposed to your coming to God, to stand before his throne faultless, everything that stood in the way, Christ has removed it. He put it away. Every debt I owed, every bit of it that I owed, Christ has paid it all. And everything you need, Christ has provided it all freely in himself. You don't need anything outside of Christ. It's given all in him alone. That's the liberty, brethren, wherewith Christ hath made you free. Made free in Christ. So it says in verse back in Galatians 5:1, stand fast. You highly esteem it. You defend it. You stand right here. You don't be moved from this liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That law isn't going to add anything that Christ can't add. And it won't add it. It'll just weigh you down. Look to Christ. And so this bondage, which was laboring under the law for righteousness, with all its fears and doubts and worries and trouble that it caused, that's been put away, and we stand in the righteousness of Christ alone. Our circumcision or our uncircumcision profits us anything. If your salvation is founded upon your flesh, the works of your flesh, it will profit you. Christ shall profit you nothing. Nothing. Be done with that. You look to Christ and rest in him alone. And it says there, well, how do I make myself righteous then? What do I got to do? Don't I have to do something? Paul said it this way in verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We stay in Christ. We follow him. We believe. That's how confident we are in Christ, that he's the one teaching me. He's feeding me. Each week we come and hear the gospel and we're taught of the Lord. We're encouraged and reminded of what he has done for us. And he blesses our heart and comforts us right there in Christ. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts, brethren. Amen.